May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The term here in Cambridge goes at such a pace that it can sometimes be difficult to remember which week you're in. How far have we got? How much is left to go? In terms of the church calendar, we're actually getting very close to the end of the year. In fact, the church year ends next week with the feast of Christ the King, before the new year begins again on Advent Sunday. The turning of the church year makes a difference in a number of ways, one of which is that it changes which of the Gospels we read on most Sunday mornings. The church works on a three-year ABC cycle, with Matthew, Mark, and Luke being the focus for each of the 3 years. And St. John is used at special times across all 3 years. We don't need telling in this, of all places, that St. John is special. Now, all this technical stuff means that this year we've been mainly in the company of St. Mark and his account of the life and ministry of Jesus. Mark is interesting. Many scholars agree that his gospel account is probably the earliest to have been written. It's certainly the shortest. It's focused entirely on the adult ministry of Jesus. There is no account in Mark of Jesus' birth, for example. And there's a sense of urgency in Mark, a sense of forward motion, moving from one point in the narrative to another with sometimes breathless pace. Like the other gospel writers, Mark picks up a number of things about Jesus, but one particular focus is the idea of the kingdom of God. It's there right from the beginning of Mark's account. We see John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan, preparing the way of the Lord. We see Jesus arrive and himself be baptized. And then, having been blessed by his Father from heaven and been in the wilderness, Jesus finally speaks and declares that the kingdom of God has come near. This kingdom, what it's like and what it means for those listening, is the constant theme of Mark's gospel. And in our passage this morning, we're towards the end of Jesus' earthly life. His ministry, and much of which we've heard in our gospel readings throughout the year, has taken him from Galilee through the countryside and eventually to where we find him this morning, in Jerusalem. And Jesus and the disciples are at the temple, and they're marveling at the structures that they see around them, the stones of the walls of the building. Such power, such permanence, such a representation of human endeavor. Jesus says something both powerful and potentially troubling. He tells them that despite appearances, everything they see will be torn down. And more than that, he casts forward to paint a future vision in which there will be division and war and famine and earthquakes. Troubling, almost certainly terrifying for the disciples. But Jesus then says something else. He says that all these things which will happen are just the beginning of the birth pangs. Imagery of birth in Scripture, including the accompanying struggle and pain, is often used to stand for the travail that must be gone through before the arrival of a more hopeful future. Jesus is signaling here that wars, famine, and natural disasters may come, but they are also not the last word. They are not the end point. After them will come something else, something different. It's not hard, as we look at our circumstances today, to see the kinds of pictures that Jesus was painting. 900 miles from this chapel, floods have devastated communities in Spain. The Ukrainian border with Russia is 1,500 miles from where we are right now. Just over 2,000 miles away is the very place where the conversation in this morning's gospel happened, itself currently caught up amidst conflict. Now, there are some circles in which these words of Jesus predicting such things have been taken to suggest that devastating events are all specifically hardwired in to God's plan, all part of an apocalyptic movie plot, almost that they need to happen to show that the end of time and the kingdom of God are not far away. Well, I suggest that when Jesus talks about hope in the midst of despair, he is talking about the here and now, not just the hereafter. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus doesn't say that the kingdom of God will be with us in due course once the world has destroyed itself. He declares that the kingdom of God has come near, right there and then, in the very act of his own coming into the world. The picture that Jesus paints of that kingdom throughout Mark is one in which power structures of this world are overturned, in which the prejudices of society are subverted, and in which God's love enfolds everyone. A kingdom of welcome, a kingdom of hope. Building such a kingdom of hope is not a naive enterprise. Building a kingdom of hope may indeed involve radically changing structures which have seemed permanent. It may mean people rethinking their preconceptions and leaving their places of comfort. Bringing about God's kingdom of hope, restoring the lost, giving hope to the poor, welcoming the marginalized, listening to the stories of the excluded, hearing the voices that have been silenced. This is not easy work. It all involves rocking the ways of doing things that have led to injustice in the first place. If we are to build communities and nations which are based on love and not selfish power, and indeed if we are to build a church that is truly a safe place for the vulnerable and an inclusive place where absolutely no one is discriminated against, this may mean change to structures which have stood for centuries. In urging us to do this, Jesus is not doing so from a sense of angry vengeance. He is doing it from love. And where love is alive, hope springs up. Through the wars, through the natural disasters, through the pain with which we continue to struggle, hope is there because God is there. God is there, willing us on, backing us every step of the way as we try our best to share his message of love, person to person, to build that kingdom of hope, brick by brick. Mark was a gospel writer in a hurry because his task was urgent. We don't need to go hundreds of miles to find discrimination and injustice, or to see poverty and despair. The voice that cried in the wilderness is still heard right here in our own time and place and in our own city. Our task is to meet that cry with the love of the one who came to make all things new, the one who calls us to help him take the broken fragments of this world and build a kingdom of hope.